It is party time, Mom. Welcome to another episode, Tuesday of the Chad Prather Show, Studio 22, the mothership. We are going to fly into the nether regions of all things passion. Not that kind of passion, the kind of thing that just kind of drives you to do the next thing in your life. Sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes it can get you in trouble. We're going to talk about that because we're experiencing what we have coined the passion economy and how it is triggering a downfall in America and maybe even around the world of the real economy. Hey, I want to invite you guys, don't forget, come out Friday night. Friday night, we're going to be in Arlington, Texas. Jesse Payton, the Ragamuffins, all hands on deck. It's going to be me, Steve Helms, the Texas legend, Jody Booth, going to be Ben McPherson, Bobcat Ben McFiddle-Fierson. He's going to be on stage with us, Arlington Music Hall. Go to watchchad.com. It's where all the fun stuff is. And get your tickets. There might be a couple of seats left, I think. Go check. Go find out. We'll always find ways to fit more people in. So just come on. Come on. Party Foul Steve's over there at the pub. And we are fresh. Straight out of CompTix, Steve.
Straight out. Like for a month. Over a month now.
Yeah. So. It's no more comps. People are like, oh, I need to be on the list. I bet you do.
Yeah. I always hate it because there's like somebody you do owe a favor for.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's nothing I can do.
And I mean, it's like, yeah, like Kendall Jones, our good friend Kendall Jones, she's like, I need tickets to the show. And I was like, you got to help me promote it. Then I had to remind her to promote it, Steve.
Ah.
But she did it. She did.
All right.
So,
yeah, she did.
Kendall's going to be there and several other folks. I just love doing the hometown shows. And Arlington, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's a hometown show. So Arlington Music Hall, beautiful place. Going to make a big announcement while we're there as well. And I want you guys to come out and hang out with us. You know why I'm able to do what I do, Steve? Same reason you're able to do what you do. We chase our passions.
I was going
to
say, we just hustle.
I mean, we bitch a lot about what we do sometimes. And we bitch about just having to deal with things. But at the end of the day, we have a pretty good
time. Yeah, you wake up the next day and go do it all over again.
Yeah.
And wouldn't change a thing.
We have a pretty good time doing what we do because we chase our passion. And that's one of the things we're going to get into today because it can be a good thing. But like I said a minute ago, it can be a bad thing, too. You got to be careful with this stuff. And we're going to talk about it. We got the very lovely Sarah Gonzalez, who is going to join us on the show today. And this is an important topic. It is, because these days they're saying that because of the advent of social media and specifically the internet and numerous other things, there's so many bits and bytes of information that are coming our way that people are changing their career 7 times before the age of 35. I can somewhat relate to that even in my own life.
I easily can.
Yeah, I've switched a few different times to different things. I always say I'm 48 now. I was 42 before I ever realized doing what I wanted to do. And I think that's why people get on to me, because I am a workaholic, okay? And that's been detrimental to a number of areas of my life, but I am a workaholic, and I admit that. I work 8 days a week, and that's the thing that drives some people in my life crazy. People tell me I need to slow down. But for me, when you feel like you finally found your passion at the age of 42, it's like you got a late start, right? It's not like I started at 22.
Yeah.
And it's like you got to catch up.
We've talked about it. Imagine if we would have started this when we were 22.
Yeah. And knew what the hell we were doing.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, at 48, I'm not sure I know what I'm doing yet.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
I'm feeling my way along. Professionally, at least, I'm feeling myself in the darkness. I'm feeling my way along in the darkness. That's a whole different type of passion right there, folks. But this is the kind of thing, and you've heard me talk about it before, and I'm going to allude to it again later on, about vision, passion, discipline, and risk. Those are the four pillars upon which I build my life, and I build them in that order. And it's always been something that's driven me. You got to have vision. It leads to passion, leads to discipline, leads to risk.
The risk is a lot of times what people can't handle.
Yeah. I always tell people, I say they get up, you know, they take the discipline, they get the vision, they look through the scope, right? And they're ready to pull that trigger, and they've got the discipline to sight it in. And while they're looking through the scope, it's ready, aim. But because of the uncertainty, They never pull the trigger. They never take the risk. They never fire the shot. And that's what I encourage people, that they got to get to that point.
Taking a risk doesn't mean you're going to hit the target.
Yeah, but we're living in a very unique day and age right now with coronavirus, with shutdowns, with mandates, people staying at home, stay-at-home orders, with stimulus checks coming in. People are getting money for nothing and just to stay home. And it's not a lot, but it is something that is creating what I'm going to show you is a crisis in our culture today. And it is that passion economy, people chasing their passions. You got to do it the right way, folks, or you're gonna wind up in trouble and you're going to affect other people around you. So going to deal with this thing. Candice, the queen of the Ethiopians, puppet master Mark, Justin Case sitting over there. Look at Justin. Handsome. Yeah. Look at all this handsomeness in this room. Oh, my gosh. Hey, people always ask me if I'm ready for the next crisis to hit America. Yes, I am. But a lot of people aren't prepared. And they're going to suffer when they see things like hyperinflation, stock market crashes, shortages, or civil unrest. Folks, don't be a victim. Make sure you have enough emergency food, water, and supplies stockpiled today. Listen, there's only one company I recommend and trust, My Patriot Supply. They're America's leading preparedness company, and they're here to help you become self-reliant. My Patriot Supply has been in business for over a dozen years, and they've served millions of families, earning more than 39,000 four- and five-star reviews. Their food is specially packaged to stay fresh for up to 25 years. And right now, I'm going to help you save $50 on their four-week emergency food kit. The meals are delicious. Sometimes I cook them up just because I want to eat them. They provide 2,000 calories per day. Just go to preparewithchad.com. Save $50 on a four-week kit. Don't wait for something bad to happen. You might not get the warning. Go to preparewithchad.com. That is preparewithchad.com. We'll be right back. Welcome to the show, the very lovely, the very intelligent, the charming, the charismatic Sarah Gonzalez.
Oh, well, quite an introduction. I thought you were talking about Josh Jennings.
I was not talking
to Josh. I thought you were just building up for Josh Jennings.
Not in the least talking to Josh Jennings.
Hello.
Although I do appreciate Josh on many levels for many reasons, none of the same reasons that I appreciate you, Sarah.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
What do you think about, okay, first of all, how are you?
Wonderful. Lovely. Just, you know, living with two children now. Every day I wake up, I'm like, what did I do?
Another day in paradise. Yeah. I'm starting to become a proponent for this kids in cages thing. Yeah. The problem is you can still hear them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. A soundproof cage. We could work on that.
You walk through the airport and you see those nursing stations, like those big, have you seen those things? The little closets?
Oh, gosh.
You just haven't been looking. They're there.
Apparently not, because last time I was in an airport with the baby, I nursed the baby in the bathroom.
Right there at it? Yeah.
In the bathroom.
I went to breakfast the other morning, and the lady sitting at the table next to me just did it right there.
Yeah, I can't. That's not me.
That's the way I like it. Just do it all natural.
Not with the food.
I don't care.
I don't.
But I just don't.
I mean, we all did it, or, you know.
Well,
I had a cousin used to tell his mama to come over behind the door so he could get something to eat. That's how old he was.
I feel like there should be a certain level of modesty. I think if you have a cover on, it's fine.
Yeah, I think there's ways to do it that are modest.
But not just like just.
But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. And the reason I'm even bringing this thing up is because there are things that people are very passionate about, right? And we're talking about passion today. And I've always said vision, passion, discipline, risk. I believe you should get a vision for your future, see beyond your horizons. It should impassion you to get out of bed every morning and chase what you've seen. And the passion should make you want to discipline yourself to accomplish what you've seen. And then you should spend the rest of your life to accomplish it. That's risk. So the passion, though, and I've always said that risk without discipline is recklessness, and discipline without passion is legalism, and passion without vision is just hype, right? But there's a lot of people out there, especially these days, they want to pursue certain things in life because, I mean, why can't I be an internet sensation? Why can't I be you know, Kendall Jenner. Why can't I be a Kardashian? Right? Why can't I do those things? And we're falling into what we're calling a passion culture. I want to read this. This is Candace put some notes together, and it's best just to share this directly from this. COVID-inspired government assistance has created a comfortable life for many Americans who can now make the same amount, if not more, from just existing. Needs are covered. There's no evictions. There's no stimulus. There's no food stamps. So in other words, if you're not paying your bills, hey, just get forgiveness. Right now, like I owe the IRS some money from like 2018. Happens every year because I operate on so many 1099s. Right. Sometimes they don't all come in. They don't get reported that year. So my CPA was like, well, you can send them, but right now the checks are just sitting in the parking lot. There's trucks sitting in the parking lot. So what's the ramification of, do I need to pay the IRS like right now?
Right.
Or what? There's no ramifications. There's no consequences. People are free to pursue their passions right now. No longer do they have to shell out their labor to pay for basic human necessities. The, quote, self-care culture has returned to bite us in the form of abolishing the, quote, career. The 40-year career, especially, some believe, was created by corporations to generate steady labor. I mean, why should I have to work 5-6 days a week? Why should I have to work for 30, 40 years? Work culture has impacted mental health, happiness index, and emotional stability for years. The attitude of do what makes you happy is now bringing the American economy to its knees. People aren't working. Work identity is a social construct, people believe, that was invented by America and countries like Denmark. They got happier citizens, right? They're just so chill. And so now millions of people are choosing to stay at home in post-pandemic life, and companies are struggling to hire workers. I went through a drive-thru yesterday, and I posted on Instagram. Did you see it at the drive-thru? It said, and this was in, it was in a small southern town, and it said,
we're seeing it everywhere.
It said, and you're seeing these signs all over the place, but it said, please be patient with us. We're short-staffed, and the ones that are here are trying their best to take care of guests. We are worn out and tired, but we are here for you. We're hiring. Please apply at blahblahblah.com. Thank you for understanding. I'm seeing it everywhere.
Yeah.
People are not wanting to go to work.
I think we're also going to see from that, it's going to force minimum wage to just naturally kind of go up because people are so desperate to hire people.
Wouldn't say it's natural, because the government is still incentivizing people to stay at home. So that's still sort of government interference.
We've got to have somebody, and there's still people.
I agree with you.
Okay, well, let me tell you what may happen. All right, and I'm gonna show you in the form of a video clip right here. Mark, play clip number one.
What would you spend time doing, and what would your life look like if you had all of your basic necessities covered, if you had access to healthcare, if you had food, shelter, like your Maslow's hierarchy of needs are covered, that's all good and set away, what would you spend your time doing? And I think this is a really, really important question, because a lot of people say, I see this a lot in like UBI discourse, is that if you just pay people to exist, they won't do anything, and that humans are lazy, and if we don't have a job and have work, we will not do anything. And this thread was such a powerful example of all of the things that people are yearning to do, but that they aren't able to fully devote themselves to because they have to spend countless hours every week selling their labor to be able to afford human necessities. A lot of people want to start a garden. A lot of people want to devote their life to art. I know a lot of people that would love to become therapists or social workers or devote themselves to some very giving field, but they can't because the debt that school would put them in order to get that degree and be able to work those fields is inescapable. And so they just can't do what they want to do. Like, there's so much we're limited by. So I would ask yourself, like, if you didn't have to work 40 hours a week, what would you fill that time with? That's a really wonderful way to reset on what your internal passions are.
Okay, so for those of you who weren't watching and were listening to that, while she's doing this vlog, there are people who are popping up on there and talking about what they would do. When you watch that, Sarah, baby, what does that do to you viscerally?
You could see it, couldn't you? Yeah. You could see it. I feel the rage just bubbling up inside me that people are this it just, I was raised a much different way. I'll put it that way. I was raised a much different way that, like, it's okay to dream about things, but you have responsibilities in life and you need to make sure to achieve those.
I was, y'all ever see the movie Major Payne with Damon Wayans?
Yes.
One of my all-time favorite movies.
That's a good one.
And, you know, he is the commandant of an ROTC program at a boys' school, at an academy. And the teacher is trying to soften him a little bit. And he's going at the six-year-old boy and kind of giving him some tough man love. And she's like, Major, he's only 6 years old. And he goes, woman, when I was 6 years old, I had a full-time job. I was driving in my hometown, Augusta, Georgia. I was driving through my hometown the other day. I had some friends with me. And we were passing places that my father built. He was a builder and developer. And I said, yep, I built that building. And they were like, what? And I was like, when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, my father, when I was out of school, he would take me on job sites, put a broom in my hand, and it was my job to sweep the job sites. 6, 7 years old, right? And I had a work ethic, alluding to what you're talking about. I had a work ethic that was built into me.
Yeah.
You don't just see what she was saying is, if these people had a UBI, which is not a disease or an infection, that is universal basic income.
I think you could qualify it as a disease or
it
an infection.
It is sort of a cultural disease. Then she said people could do a garden and they could... You're talking about hobbies.
Yeah, you can do a garden when you get home from work in the evening. What is preventing you from doing that right now? Not everything is meant to be something that you're supposed to spend your entire life doing. If it takes you 40 hours a week to do a garden, like, God help you.
You're a farmer.
Yeah, I mean, geez, it's incredible. It's incredible, this idea.
Yeah. I can't get over it. I work a full-time job. I raise two kids with my wife. One of whom is on the autism spectrum, so lots of work.
Yeah.
And I still manage to have hobbies. I have a garden. I play the piano. I play the guitar. I write. I do lots of things for fun in what little spare time I have because I manage my time. And I'm the worst time manager ever, but I still do it. You guys can do it too. Just get out there and work your ass off.
And the premise for that video, of course, was if you didn't have to worry about your basic human needs, what would you do with all of that time?
And that, I think that is important to bring up, because basic needs to them, I think, are much different than what you're talking about.
Right.
Basic needs are like, well, I need to go get my nails done and I have to go do this and I have to go do that. I mean, so yeah, you are going to need to work a 40-hour a week job that's going to pay something substantial. But she equates it with, you know, if you didn't have to worry about having access to healthcare. By the way, as if people don't, like, they're not allowed to go walk into a clinic.
Believe it or not, people in third world countries and places like Venezuela, they aren't living lavishly, but they are still surviving.
Right.
Because you can sometimes find your basic needs in the bottom of a garbage can.
Right. Like, if you want to spend your life in a garden, then I guess, like, just make sure to get a job that pays for literally your basic needs and you can go do that.
People have lived with basic needs for millennia.
Yes.
Steve.
Food and shelter. I mean, the basic human instinct is that's what you work for.
But that's not what these people mean.
No, they don't
mean
that at all.
It's like, well, I need my iPhone and I need, you know, everything else.
Well, no, I think they mean all of it. I mean, I think that they want someone to make sure that the electricity stays on and it doesn't have to be them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want somebody to make sure there's food in the refrigerator and it doesn't have to be them that pays for it.
She was using at least a minimum $1,000 device to record herself.
Right.
In her air-conditioned home, making this video. But people want to stay home. They don't want to emerge from this post-pandemic life. And people aren't being hired. And that's their idea. And you say, see, because their point was, oh, no, people wouldn't just bail out on... No. Here's the thing. Because I know there's those of you out there who say, just let them go do what they want to do. No, because ultimately it's going to affect all of us. And we're starting to see that.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter whether you would waste your free time or use it wisely. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're going to use it on, because you're a burden on society now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody needs to create that Etsy shop, start a t-shirt business, go to watchchad.com where all the fun stuff is. Become an internet celebrity, blazetv.com/chad.
Okay, but you built your way up to that while also working other jobs.
Yeah, and did it before our government shut us down, and big tech has used that to all the people stuck at home.
Yeah.
But they're big tech still making
people
money.
People don't understand this. People don't understand this. When I did what I did, I stepped into nothing.
Right.
I took a risk with no safety net to pursue some things. It was me and God at that point. You know, I mean, it was like, okay, this is a step of faith. And I want to talk about this stuff. We're going to take a break here in a second. But this is the kind of thing that can affect a lot of us, mm-hmm. and is starting to. We're going to get into it. Anyway, there are hundreds of companies out there claiming to compare auto and home insurance rate, but there's only one that actually does it and does it right. Get a better insurance with Gabby, and I know it because I've done it. Gabby is the one true comparison platform with fast, verifiable quotes, not ballpark guesses. You can use your current policy to find a better policy, comparing your current coverage with 40 of the top insurance providers like Progressive, Nationwide, and Travelers, all in one place. Use your current insurance information. It'll get you started. It's free, and they only show policies that are the same or better than your current coverage, many of them at a lower price. Gabby helped find me the right policy. I was sitting there trying. Nobody wants to spend all the time shopping. You're afraid to do that because then you get those spam calls and all these agents calling. You're not going to get that with Gabby. And better yet, you're going to save probably about $961 per year on average, because that's what their customers do. They're not going to sell your info, so you don't have to worry about the spam or the robocalls. Put your policy to the test like I did. Get a better insurance with Gabby. It's totally free to check. There's no obligation. Go to Gabby.com/watchchad. That's GABI.com/watchchad. We'll be right back. See, here's the thing. One of the biggest lies we've told our kids is when you grow up, you can be anything you want to be.
Yeah.
You can't.
No. No.
You can't be anything you want to be.
And you're setting them up for failure.
I watched my 6 foot tall son try to touch the rim of a basketball goal last night. He didn't touch the net. I'm 48 and I can jump better than that. Now, he can accomplish a lot of things. He's a super smart kid. But he ain't ever going to be LeBron James. Okay. And you just, it's a lie. Because when you chase your passion, and look, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for it. But when you just quit culture and you quit the economy and you just wait on somebody else to take care of you, what you don't understand is the majority of these type ventures are going to fail. And somebody's got to pick up the pieces. It's going to contribute to the strain or a strain on an already crippled economy. And that's what we're seeing happening. All you got to do, check the gas prices. It's already over $3 a gallon in Texas, folks. Play clip number two, Mark.
So, like I said, I have been unemployed for a while. I graduated last summer. It's now the end of April. So I've been unemployed. I've been not doing anything like job, uni, anything since June. So it's been nearly a year of unemployment / not doing anything. And last time I had a job was back in summer 2019. So that's nearly 2 years ago. And when I think about the fact that I haven't had a job in so long, it does upset me. But the only reason why I'm actually upset is because I'm broke. It's not actually because I don't have a job. At the moment, I don't know if this is TMI, but I'm currently on Universal Credit right now, which if you're not from the UK, it's basically like money from the government, benefits. But yeah, honestly, like apart from the fact that I'm broke, and I guess the fact that like, I think as well, because of the pandemic, I've not had much to do. So I'm like always at home pretty much. So I guess like that kind of sucks, but like, apart from that, like, I'm not really upset about the fact that I don't have a job. And if I'm completely honest, I would be very, very content if I never had to work.
Jeez. I'd be content if I never had to work.
Yeah, I believe
that. Apart from the fact that I'm miserable, I'm content.
You know what?
She didn't sound that miserable, though.
No.
It just sounded like more of an inconvenient that I'm broke, but I mean, I've got the government tips.
She's bored with life.
Can I give everybody just a Bible study real quick? God gave Adam a job before he gave him a woman. He said, here's the garden. Be fruitful. Tend it. Tend your garden. Have dominion over it. Then he gave him a woman, said, be fruitful and multiply. he had a job. The curse was now the soil is going to work against you. It's through sweat and toil, and you're going to have to fight roots, and you're going to have to fight these things, the hardness and the, you know, of the earth. It's going to fight you. Work is hard.
Yeah, and I think that that's an important point that you just brought up, is that it's not just the economy, and I know that we're talking about the economy, and that is a huge part of it, but it's not just the economy that this type of mentality is hurting. It's also the family unit, because there are men. I mean, I know we just saw women, but there are men as well. I mean, I'll go ahead and share with you. My ex-husband had his mother brought him up in a way that it was very much like, go chase your dreams. You can be whatever you want to be. You know, you don't need to worry about money as much as satisfying your soul. And because, like, when you grow up with that mentality driven into you, it's very hard for you to have that work ethic, to know that it's your job to provide for your family, to actually focus on how much money you're bringing in and providing for your family, rather than, am I satisfied? Am I content with the work that I'm doing? Am I doing enough for, you know, XYZ? And I think that this is really, really disruptive to the family unit as well.
So the issue we're talking about here is people that get on this government assistance, and it's what they've known, right? Especially young adults. Now they can go chase their, quote, passions. The Great Depression happened in 1929, okay? Whenever that happened and FDR came along with the New Deal, there were people who wound up on government assistance. They didn't have a job. A lot of those people had a sense of shame, mm-hmm. because they had to depend on the government. That was a different work ethic. That was a different time. It was a different America, different culture. Now we're sitting here, COVID-19. We have people that aren't so, they don't have any shame.
Right.
I mean, how many times in that last clip did she say, well, this may be TMI, but they have no shame. There's an anti-capitalist sentiment already going on. We are starting to embrace, quote, democratic socialism.
Even though if it weren't for the capitalists, they would have no government money to spend,
right,
by
exactly.
the way.
You've got the self-care industry, which is a Band-Aid for the overworked and underpaid. We've worked to live. Now people, you know, they want to live to work. A different way around it. I'm in a place right now where I live to work. Yeah. I love it. I love the things I do. If I'm not having fun doing it, I'm not passionate about it, I'm probably not going to do it.
But you spent a lot of years building that up.
I spent a lot of years working to live.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not in a place where I'm going to quit. I don't want to quit.
Well, I mean, the same thing with me. I was doing something that provided for my family while taking care of my child from home. And I was making sure that I was making money. I started doing this on the side.
Yeah.
And I waited until I was making enough that I could make that transition. And I think that's very important.
Well, we have this, what's called a gig economy, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody thinks they can be their own boss. Okay, we have an anti-authority bit going on. Defund the police. Yep. You can't have authority unless you're under authority at some point. People want autonomy. They want economic autonomy. I don't want to answer to anybody. I want to win the lottery, and then I can just disappear to my island, and I don't have to deal with people anymore. You're going to wind up with a sad reality if that were to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and this younger generation today, they're challenging what we call the American dream. They've changed it. They believe they only have value that will directly benefit them and make them happy. That's the only thing that brings value. Got to be happy. I got to feel good. The concepts of America only hold value because we have been trained since birth that they mean something, but that's not true anymore. What do we talk about? You know, I've had people, they don't like the flag anymore. You know, they want to disrespect the flag, disrespect the anthem. Let's kneel for it. It doesn't mean anything. Freedom of speech, not allowed to do that. We've revised history. We don't value that anymore. If I don't like it, then I'll just change it. If America wasn't founded in 1776, it was founded in 1619, when 22 slaves stepped off a ship on the shores of America. You can't just do that just because it feels better to say that. Marriage and family has been redefined. It's been changed. The whole idea of that. So now people, they value what they feel good about. They value what they believe in. You throw out the old ideologies. There's nothing in life should be challenging or difficult. You can have your cake, and you can eat it, too. That's the deal. Play clip number 3 there, Mark.
Bro, jobs is slavery. I know this now. I want to sit up here and say this right now. If you are working a job, no matter how much money you make per hour, if you work in a job, that is slavery, bro. It's slavery in plain sight. Jobs are stopping you from being the best that you could possibly be. Like, who the f*** want to retire at age 60, 70? Like, why I could retire at 30? I could have been working on my shit at age 15 and been able to retire at 30. Young entrepreneurs can retire at 30, 35. We don't have to work for 30 more years and then retire. Jobs is made for you to live. Bro, think about the mindset that you have. You can't live. People, I can't do anything without a job. I can't do this without a job. I can't do that without a job. Mm-hmm. A job is slavery.
Oh my God!
I'd like to see his current bank account right now.
Yes.
All these young entrepreneurs. I want to see how many of them can spell the word entrepreneur. I'm so sick of the word entrepreneur being thrown around by people who have no idea what entrepreneurialism is.
Mm-hmm. That's probably filmed from his mother's house.
Yeah.
But look at what you got these
where
days.
Where she was cooking dinner.
Yes. See, now we're in the age of cryptocurrency. It's not backed by anything. It's an idea currency. There's nothing to it. You don't have tangible things like gold and silver. You don't have any of that. You got thoughts and feelings and emotions. I literally was laughing about this yesterday. We were basing investment strategies on the appearance of a scientist and mathematician on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's screwed up. People were hoping Dogecoin was going to go through the roof because Elon Musk did an appearance on Saturday Night Live. And now they're like, oh dear God, I wonder if it's ever going to come back. We're building our hopes on things that don't exist. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I mean, you got NFTs, these digital art things right now that are going for millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, because you're buying this a new digital art collecting investment thing. There's nothing to it. I'm gonna take a picture of Sarah's feet and put that out as an NFT.
Gosh.
How much money can we get for Sarah's feet?
Give me at least 40 split
bucks
it with
going
me.
Right, right now.
I've had some offers, but I haven't. I haven't obliged yet.
But I mean, what's going to come next? What's the new American dream? What's the new American way? We don't have it yet. That's these folks, we've given too much power to these kids and these folks. And it's not just kids, man. It's everybody.
Mm-hmm. They're learning it from someone.
Listen, it's the first domino to fall. The economy. The first domino to fall. And this is the kind of thing. I'm gonna bring this all together for us in the next block. Y'all hang tight. Okay, so, you know how you trade stocks, you trade, you know, these days you got passion economists, you got these folks who are trading beliefs, feelings, and thoughts. Well, what happens when my beliefs, feelings, and thoughts aren't the same as your beliefs, feelings, and thoughts? And that's the thing. Just because I feel it doesn't mean I have disciplined myself to make a calculated risk to step out. I'm all for entrepreneurialism. I'm all for dreaming big. I'm all for taking that risk. I really am. And I want to see more people do it. I'm not saying don't chase your dreams. There's a difference between dreaming something and having a vision, right? And that's what a lot of people say. A vision is a construct. It's a thing that has a detail to it. It has a system built into it. I've seen beyond my horizons. I've seen something that can be that is not. And I've seen how I fit into that reality. And I'm like, yeah, that's exciting. That could be really, really cool. But that should always lead me to discipline. How am I going to accomplish that?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to fund that?
And yeah, because that when you talk about risk, I think that it's important to note that you have to be okay with maybe eating ramen noodles all
yes.
week because you're taking the pay cut to go chase your dreams, whatever that may be. But most people who are spoiled and live in America are not prepared to do that.
No, and I can remember getting to a point where I had $7.58 in my bank account on Thursday. wasn't going to get a check till Monday. And I'm going, how is this going to work?
Yeah.
You know? And when you live in a country that is supplying you with quote unquote income, but that same country has now printed more cash money in the last 60 days than all of its years of existence combined, there's a bubble that's going to pop. And your little emotional, passionate feelings aren't going to sustain it when it does.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you're not careful, you're going to be the first one out with the fodder.
Right.
You're going to be, because you bring nothing marketable to bear. You have no marketable skills. You have no marketable equity. You have no communicable qualities with which to engage the economy. You don't have any of that stuff. So I say chase your passions. I say chase your vision. But by God, you better have something there that's going to sustain you and contribute to this economy. Because I ain't going to feed your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Use promo code Chad. They got food in there that'll feed you 25 years from now. And, you know, Glenn's been talking about this. So many different folks have. Glenn actually called it. He said we got 45 days. And this was 45 days ago. He called. And look at what's going on with the inflation, with the commodities, with things that are just through the roof, whether it's wheat, coal, gasoline, corn. I mean, everything is inflated. Everything is inflated. But let's chase our dreams.
Mm.
I was going to stock up on gasoline the other day, but Ziploc bags were too much.
Couldn't afford any Rubbermaid containers to put it in. So, you know, I'm the last guy that's going to piss on your dream. I really am. But this is a Band-Aid that we have put on this. And we have people out there. I got a good friend of mine. Well, I got a manager in L.A. and a great conservative guy. Done well for himself in the television and entertainment industry over the years. And he had an intern. And we were having dinner one night. And the intern said, he was talking about how he was a liberal, how he was a Democrat. And he said, and Arthur said, well, it's because you hadn't made any money yet. And so many of these folks who are sitting there vlogging,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've got nothing to protect.
Right.
When you haven't, let me summarize everything we've said with this, with just a warning. You will never value anything that you don't possess a vested interest in, right? If you're getting universal basic income and that is what you want, and you want, as Steve alluded to earlier, higher minimum wage, which, by the way, Joe Biden's newest budget proposal didn't include anything to do with that.
Nope.
So you've been bamboozled.
Yeah.
And I'll give a warning to these parents out there. Train your children up. Teach
please,
that work ethic.
Please.
Because
please.
We're all, our lives are at stake now.
Yes.
Our futures are at stake.
They will carry it into adulthood and it will not work out well for them.
It will not. And not only are they, it's going to be the American nightmare for all of us. American dream. You don't hear about the Zimbabwean dream. You don't hear about the Australian dream. You don't hear about the Swedish dream.
Yeah, the Australian dream is to get here.
Yeah, I was going to say that dream is to move to America.
You don't hear about the Guatemalan dream. It's the American dream because it's the greatest country that has ever existed in the scope of human history.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you guys, that's the thing. You got to protect that dream. Or we'll go down the downward devolution spiral of history when this economy tanks and it's in bad, bad times. Because yeah, you just didn't like the mean tweets.
But the upside is that people will have plenty of time to garden.
Yeah, you can garden. Yeah,
so
chase your hobbies. Do all of those things. I'm going to continue to chase mine.
Go out and get a wheelbarrow for your garden because you're also going to need it for your cash.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Sarah, you are lovely as always.
Thank you.
And with those two children, let them out of the cage. Teach them
know.
To have a vested interest in their future. Give them a good work ethic.
Doing
and by the
best.
Way, you parents out there, say no to your children.
Yes.
God, say no to them
it's
every now and then.
It's my favorite word to say to them.
No, nay, not, never, whatever you need to say. Just tell them no. and teach them a work ethic. Mm-hmm. Make them do something. Make them talk to a parent yesterday, and I said, "What are you doing?" They said, "Cleaning up my kid's room." I was like, "Are you kidding me right now?
Mm-mm.
Are you kidding me? Were you playing?
They better do it with a good attitude too.
Were you playing in your kid's room?
Yeah.
Were you playing with their toys? No.
That's a whole nother problem.
It's a passion economy, folks. We're living it. We've got to end it. And I didn't like the stimulus package when Donald Trump came out with it either. I've said this numerous times on this show and on your show. Yep. So Sarah Gonzalez, the host of The News and Why It Matters. Follow her on YouTube while you can. Sarah Gonzalez, Unfiltered.
Instagram as well.
Instagram as well, at Sarah Gonzalez. No H in there and an S on the end of Gonzalez, TX.
Yes.
Love you guys. Hang tight. We'll wrap it up. Lots of stuff to think about, folks. Lots of stuff. Deep breath, deep breath. Listen, I want to encourage you guys once again, come out Friday night. Join us in Arlington, Texas, Arlington Music Hall. Go to watchchad.com. It's where all the fun stuff is. And you never know. You might be coming to a city near you. Party Foul Steve, we are headed to Everett, Washington. We're headed to Boise, Idaho. I misspoke. I said that we were coming to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Yeah.
That show got canceled because we would be up against Luke Holmes and Luke Combs. I always say his name, Luke Holmes. Yeah. Luke Combs and Jason Aldean.
Yeah.
And we don't want to compete with our buddies.
We would have had a great after party.
Yeah. We don't want to compete with our buddies because we don't want to steal any tickets from Luke Combs. But we're coming to those cities. We're going to be bouncing around here and there. Come see us while you can, because we got a book coming out September 7th, Am I Crazy? You can pre-order it now where books are available. You know, your Amazon, your Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all that stuff. Pre-order that sucker. And let's take it to number one.
We have some pop-up stores and book signing.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff, dude. We're going to be crisscrossing the country selling books. A lot of stuff going on, not the least of which is, you know, a little campaign for governor 2022. I saw where I posted 7 years ago, hashtag 22, big things are coming, hashtag 22. Weirdly prophetic that I put that on Facebook in 2014.
Well, it kind of goes back to what you got to put it out there.
You got to put it out there, man. That's weird. Kinda, I don't even know what I was talking about back then. It's wildly prophetic. But I hope you guys will continue to tune in tomorrow. Go where podcasts are offered. Leave us a 5-star rating and a review. Know that we love you. God bless. Be nice. Take care of each other. And again, keep watching. Bye.